You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Leslie Nielsen was so helpful. I'm still convinced that that was useful, Greg.
Thanks, Billy. I thought so. You know, it's like the one time I said that the ACC commissioner, John Swofford's brother, was the singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to throw in a fact like that. You got to educate.
Was the singer what? Like, you're just going to throw that out there as if people know what you're talking with ACC Commissioner John Swofford.
Right, his brother is the guy who sang, "Good morning, starshine."
But the punchline of that joke needs to end with John Swofford. Like, you started it by saying ACC Commissioner when that's the punchline of it.
But I wouldn't know who John Swofford was, so it wouldn't be...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Thought everybody knew him.
He's also no longer the ACC Commissioner.
Oh, right, wow. Former Commissioner. But the singer is Nielsen, is that correct? Not
Oliver.
Leslie Nielsen. Oliver, that's right. Well done.
Oliver Swofford.
Good morning, starshine.
When you're addressing like the current ACC commissioner, do you say the way you would in Batman, Commissioner Gordon? Do you say Commissioner Swofford?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think you have to. Swofford, there's something about Swofford that lends itself to nobody calling him John. It has to be right. Commissioner Swofford.
I would demand it. Yeah. If I were the commissioner, you have to address me as such.
He still demands it. Call me former Commissioner Swofford.
What do you think is like the least important position in which people need to give you some sort of title like that?
Comptroller.
I don't know what a comptroller does.
They control.
Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Do you know what a comptroller does? I want to talk about Succession, the HBO show, and put this on the poll as well, at Le Batard Show. Is Succession a sitcom or a drama? Because it's both and it's great. But I think it might be more of a sitcom. But when I was walking into the studio right before we started, you guys were howling and somebody shouted, "Oh yeah, Legado Nanay." And I need to know the backstory on what you guys were talking about that brought up the wonderful comedic name of, was he a Dolphins wide receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah, it came from the Chargers.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers made him, and then we tried to turn him into a great receiver for Miami. Didn't quite work out.
Is that the funniest name in they've got some funny one. Lusaka Polite, some fun, but just comedically funny names.
I can only hear it in Jimmy Cephalo's voice.
It's a song. I expect Lega Do Nane to be running down the sideline for 80 yards.
It sounds like a Star Wars character.
It does. Or the mascot of Legoland. Perfect name for the mascot.
Is Succession, Mike, a comedy or a sitcom? I mean, you watch Succession, right?
I do.
It's a drama, but it's comedic. They do both so well. The comedy on that show is so high level, so layered, so built over time. They have such well-drawn characters in this show. And if you haven't seen season 3's premiere, it's one of my favorite episodes in the history of that show, and it's chock full of great episodes. But Cousin Greg, they over 2 seasons, it was a bit of a slow burn with him, but now they're just leaning all the way into that he's in way over his head, and he knocked it out of the park on this episode.
You think it's been a slow burn?
In terms of like just exposing blatantly that he's an imbecile?
Greg blossoming into a comedic, physical comedian because he's so much bigger than everyone else on the show has been one of my favorite parts of the show, that they are leaning fully into the comedy of that character being fundamentally useless.
The funniest thing to me, my two favorite characters by far are Greg and Tom.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing to me,
they need to have a spinoff,
is that Tom is Greg, albeit just further along in the evolutionary side.
But with a better vocabulary.
He's exactly the same guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're all the same guy. They just have better vocabularies than Greg.
You love the awkward of the Greg character.
Awkward, there was an all-time awkward scene where he's explaining to one of the new high-profile assistants being brought in to court Kendall after this whole thing. He goes into a whole diatribe, the most boring diatribe, about canceling his mother's credit cards. It's so well written, and it could have gone on forever. I was sweating while watching it.
The story arc on the show, because it is artful, it is funny, but we are headed to the richest family or portrayal of comedy and drama of wealth in this country, it being undermined by Greg the Idiot, right? Like by the biggest of the idiots in the franchise sneaking in through the last back door of privilege, he's going to undermine the whole thing.
I hope he's standing at the end. I think the audience is all hoping for Greg to be running the empire. That's what I thought from day one. Like, that's what they're trying to say.
That'll tell you whether the writers think it's a comedy or not, correct? If at the very end, Greg wins Game of Thrones.
It's crazy to me. My dad has never seen a second of Succession, but you guys just keep saying the name Greg, and he's been grinning for like 2 straight minutes. Well, the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
The thought did just occur to me that was not the first time on this air that I've heard Levitard say the phrase Greg the Idiot. But no, I've never seen the show. It whets the appetite for it because I've heard so much about it and it sounds good.
People are fascinated by wealth, so I would think that and Billions are a couple of the shows that people really, they're super, super interested in rich people.
Yeah, Billions is a lot more serious drama, right? It's not without its humor here and there, but it's more traditional towards what a drama is.
Has the show ever worked where there isn't a single character with a redeeming quality? They're all just shitty people.
Seinfeld.
I thought The Sopranos. Seinfeld. The Sopranos.
Seinfeld's a good one, and it's Always Sunny.
Yeah, definitely Always Sunny. Yeah.
Sopranos have a redeeming character. Yeah.
I would say HBO's Girls as well. No redeeming qualities in those people.
But they just missed the mark. They all thought that they were redeemable. And you watch it in retrospect, and it's just like,
I hate all of you.
All of you seem like the worst.
Also, the show doesn't have a redeeming quality either.
This show?
No. Girls.
Oh.
Like, it's not my cup of tea.
Okay, that was important to get out there.
We're talking about
but it was important for you not to like the show.
Adam Driver is the show's legacy, in my opinion, which is weird because the show is called Girls.
Can someone
welcome
get
to America.
did you see that there's a story that's been aggregated a bunch that one of the most popular female authors Spain is actually 3 guys?
No.
Yeah. It's like kind of like a bizarro gender pay gap thing. I'm not exactly sure all the details, but I've seen the headline that just three Spaniards have been posing as a woman author.
They write under a nom de plume.
Have you gotten your Urban Dictionary reading together yet?
No, I have not. I'm still trying to recover from yesterday.
We need to do that again. It needs to be a daily feature. We need to vet it properly, please. But that was a totally unnecessary nom de plume.
Chris Whittingham is a fancy lad.
And yet it was great. I thank you. Like, it's exactly the phrase that segment needed as punctuation.
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again? Or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Billy, how do you feel about what's happening in Major League Baseball where, and I'm beginning, I know you don't like the Astros much,
no.
But Correa, I love that he,
no,
loves,
you don't.
That he loves the villain role.
He doesn't love the villain role. None of them love the villain role. They're crybabies. They get upset when you criticize them. They're cheaters, right? Proven cheaters. Everybody knows that they're cheaters. If they leaned into it, it'd be one thing. But they're still parading around as victims. It's ridiculous. You guys are cheaters. No one wants to see you succeed. Congratulations, you stole a championship. That's it.
If you like being the victim, you don't say before an interview, hey, don't ask me about this.
The villain, right? Not the victim.
But if they're doing it now without cheating, it's kind of proving their point. Hey, we're pretty damn good.
No, they're forever cheaters.
Right. Let me tell the story from last night to advance that particular feeling that you have. The Astros are now done. The Red Sox are the surprise of the playoffs so far. They're clubbing the baseball. They were the worst team to enter the playoffs, and here they are. They're Billy's only chance to have a redeemable champion this year. He finds himself somehow, and this is a shitty
the
position.
The Red Sox aren't bad. I mean, or the Dodgers. I'm fine with the Dodgers. They won last year, whatever.
You're fine with the Dodgers?
Yeah, I'm okay with the Dodgers.
Yeah, they always win.
They've won once in like 4 years.
They're always good, though. Enough Dodgers. The World Series we want to see is Boston, Atlanta. Those two were the betting underdogs for sure.
Who would rather see Atlanta than the Dodgers, outside of Braves fans? I just think you're speaking from like what you want here.
If you're like a big baseball fan, you would, because you want to see Atlanta, Ronald Acuna Jr. You want to see all their young
players.
He's out,
isn't he?
But you want to see his young players.
But when we talk about Correa, what happened last night is you have this funny situation, okay? So everyone hates the Astros. They're the villain. Correa has been the loudest of and the least contrite of the villains. And he does he points to a watch on his wrist. It's, you know, that's what he does when he hits the ball a long way. And yesterday, Eduardo Rodriguez strikes him out, gets him out, and starts pointing to his wrist. And immediately on the top step, cheater Alex Cora is ruling over decorum. And of course, Eduardo Rodriguez has to apologize, feels terrible about what he did in that moment. But afterward, Correa said, I loved it. This game needs more of that, needs more personality.
Yes.
So you've got the manager, the position.
Alex Cora needs to chill too, because Alex Cora got caught in an Apple Watch situation. So he's kind of like, let's not be pointing at watches. We need to forget about the watch situation.
I love the authority figure reprimanding the personality as the guy he was insulting is saying, no, I love this after a 12-3 loss.
Yeah.
I'm reading up on this Spanish author scam thing. It is fascinating. Fascinating. So, first of all, it's a picture of the three guys. They accepted some award, €1 million, by the way. Wow. Good money there for an award for writing. Nobody reads anymore. But the picture, on first blush, I'm like, they look like assholes. But then I was like, hey, you know what? Let's not jump the gun. Give them a chance. So I'm reading through the story, and the author page from name of the writer is Carmina Mola, right?
The nom de plume.
Oh, Carmen Mola, excuse me, yes. So the author page from Mole's agent describes her as a Madrid-born writer who uses a pseudonym in order to remain anonymous. The page also features a black and white photo of a woman turned away from the camera. And I'm like, okay, you guys are really leaning into this. She'd been presented as a female university professor living in Madrid with a husband and children. They really went all the way with this. So then later on, one of the guys says, we didn't hide behind the woman. We hid behind a name. I don't know if a female pseudonym would sell more than a male one. I don't have the faintest idea, but I doubt it. Anyways, so then they go on and they talk about the main character in this woman or in this writer's trilogy, the Inspector Elena Blanco trilogy. Follows a peculiar and solitary female police inspector who, quote, loves grappa, karaoke, classic cars, and sex in SUVs. Like, yeah. So not only are you guys obviously, like, doing this for attention or whatever, but also you're misogynist in it, too? I mean, these are the worst people ever.
I can't be the only one that when you guys said three guys, you just thought of, like, a vegan burger chain.
Why are you guys laughing hysterically back there? You guys were not
five
listening.
Guys.
You were not. Yes, I got okay. The joke. Thank you.
It was so it's less it than
was,
like
it
the
was
full.
Layered. Yes, yeah. It's right. Thank
the last
you.
Last two guys are the meat.
That's my yeah. Boy. That's my boy.
Credit to you. I'm glad you jumped in there. It was a bit of a lull, but you were workshopping that for 5 minutes. I'm never sure you got the reaction you were looking for, but Crazy Chris.
Impossible burgers.
Yes, thank you, Billy. That is also a
also
vegan
bad
burger.
Name for things because it's there.
What
it
were you
possible.
Guys laughing about hysterically while not listening to Amin?
Well, it's because I was listening to Amin, and I said we can all agree nom de plume better than pseudonym, correct?
Yes.
And then that's when I said what for me wanting to punch you in the face.
No, we can agree though that nom de plume is better. You're absolutely right. You don't love Correa. Correa's your least favorite, Billy? Your least favorite of all of them?
You know.
Let's rank them.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
That's a good idea, Chris.
Billy's bottom five Astros.
Here's the thing.
All time or just now?
If he just switched teams, I think a lot of it would go away for him, right? Because I think there's like four people that were still there. That were there when this whole thing happened.
Oh, but Billy, help me, because baseball's institutional memory on hatred and stuff. You saw what happened with A-Rod last night. Fox had to turn down and mute all its broadcasters because the crowd was burying A-Rod in vile language. You think that this isn't going to follow Correa? I think that the institutional memory in these places where people care and you get to shout cheater at someone. What I saw last night on Fox was amazing for a number of reasons. One of them is this. The A-Rod broadcasting arc is something I've never seen, where a guy goes from total scandal to he can work at any network that he wants to because he's super famous. But he goes back to Boston, and Boston buried him, and they had to turn down the sound on their own announcers because Boston was enjoying making fun of A-Rod and others with vile language.
And it isn't just baseball. Look what just happened to Lane Kiffin when he went back to Tennessee. But in A-Rod's case, he was playful with it. He had on a Yankees cap to encourage all that reaction, and that's great for baseball. Whether it's this Correa exchange with the watch thing, feeling fine that the pitcher did that, it's just great for the sport because baseball needs that.
He was also almost a Red Sox. Like, how different would things have been if A-Rod was a Red Sox?
Oh, yeah, they'd love him. They'd love he'd be their cheater, and the whole thing would be funny because you just simply haven't seen a guy suspended for a league for a year. Chased him through parking lots, calling him a cheater. That's how much we care about cheating. And now he works at both networks.
I feel like he got a raw deal. I'm not going to lie. I don't know why, but I feel like A-Rod got screwed in that whole thing because he was ultimately smarter than all of the rules. That's the thing, right? Which is why it's like really inconsistent with the Astros thing. They're all cheating, right? But if you're dumb enough to get caught, then you deserve the punishment. He was ahead of all of the rules, and he was essentially just punished because they didn't like the fact that he was so much smarter than them in breaking the rules.
Have you seen Billy Corbin's movie,
yeah,
Screwball?
And I was watching him like, this is ridiculous. He didn't get caught. He didn't fail a test. He should not have been suspended when he didn't fail the test.
You are claiming that the subject of the movie Screwball was smarter than everyone.
Yes, I am, which is ridiculous. But yes, Anthony Bosch was smarter than everyone running Major League Baseball. He figured out how to not get caught. And basically everyone figures out how not to get caught, which is how you have all these inflated numbers.
You have to be dumb to get caught, or you have to just not care or get lazy in the hoops that you have to jump through to not get caught. Because everybody knew how to beat the system.
It's like Lance Armstrong. He never tested positive. It just people came out and ratted on him. Barry Bonds, same thing. Never tested positive. Maybe the tests aren't good now that I think about it. All these guys are doing it, not getting caught.
That's what I'm saying. If Anthony Bosch can figure out how to beat the system and can outsmart Major League Baseball and the commissioner and everything that they have in order, like, there's a problem with the system.
I'm pretty sure that I have this right. I don't think, I hope this has been reported. I think it's been reported that Screwball belonged to ESPN. Billy Corbin was going to make that as part of a 30 for 30, but because, I guess, I'm assuming, because A-Rod works there, you can't really make it there, and so then it was released. But you should see that movie if you want to understand what Billy is saying here when he says this person was smarter than the system. That movie is a clown show. It's unbelievable how A-Rod and Manny Ramirez and these guys got to their $300 million with just a shady Miami doctor. That story's ridiculous. When you watch this, Billy, when you watched Screwball, even you're not naive about these things, but were you not sort of, did you not have your breath taken away by how Boca Raton tanning salon stupid you could be and still be smarter than the people chasing you?
He was making a joke of all of it. Even after going to jail, he was making a joke of the entire situation. And if I remember correctly, it came down to like some insignificant amount of money is what brought this down. It was like $2,000 or something over like these notebooks that linked everyone to it that cost A-Rod tens of millions of dollars.
I think people need to watch that movie if they want to understand how flabbergasting it is that you're saying that that outsmarted Major League Baseball. Have any of you guys, has anybody else in this room seen the documentary on just what a Miami clown show this whole situation was with A-Rod? And he wins at the end because he's last night. You say it cost him tens of millions of dollars. He's recouping it now. He's getting his money now with a post-career that would not have been allowed to anyone in scandal before him.
But I wonder what it would have been if he didn't get dragged, right? Like, where would he have ended up if he would not have gotten dragged? Because I feel like there's still a little bit of that attached to him, right? A lot of that's gone away. But he's like this media darling that he has like this shadowy portion of his life. What would have happened if he didn't have that?
He'd be considered the greatest pristine of the players of all time. He would be an American icon. Like, well, all of these guys' reputations. Brett Favre. Brett Favre's been undone. He could have been gunslinger throughout time.
Whoa, undone? Copperfit begs to differ. That guy's throwing deep passes, and he feels great.
Copperfit.
Does that commercial not make you sad? Do you not see how Jerry Rice and Brett Favre look, how stiff they look running around in their 50s because football has wrecked their bodies?
They don't look stiff because they have their copperfit on. The power of copper. No? Anyone else?
We've just got into a big debate back here whether A-Rod would be good on morning television or not. He's too starchy.
He'd be Strahan.
I use that as an example. I don't think he'd be as good as Strahan.
They said that he's not fake enough. I go, he's only fake. What are you talking about?
It would be obvious that he's being fake. Strahan gets on GMA.
Do you watch morning television? Yeah. They're all super fake.
But Strahan, I don't know. I like Strahan.
A-Rod is greater at fake than anyone in the history of fake. He's the greatest fake.
But look,
of all
you
the
know
fakes.
It, but everyone knows it.
But no one cares.
That's television.
That's morning. Good morning.
I feel
America.
Like Strahan is more natural.
Live with Kelly and A-Rod. I can see it.
Yeah, oh, my absolutely. God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Live 100%. With Kelly and Alex.
That would be the greatest of the rehabs. What a story arc on that would be if he gets to morning television by just being the fakest of the fakety.
I love how we're sitting here trying to save A-Rod's career had he not had the scandal. Like, he needs saving. Yeah. Who would he have dated instead of J-Lo if he hadn't had the scandal?
Can you be the greatest fake if everyone knows you're fake?
That's what I'm saying. No, yes, because that's the point.
That's how good you
everyone
are.
Everyone knows
exactly.
You're fake, and they don't care.
No, exactly. But we're all telegraphing it. Charlie Rose, that guy was a good fake.
Yeah, but there's no downfall for him because you know he's faking it.
It was a huge downfall for Charlie Rose.
That's just what I'm saying. With A-Rod, you know, like, this is completely insincere. It doesn't matter. And you've accepted it.
What I love about this conversation is the institutional memory of, do you guys realize that since A-Rod has gotten into the league as a phenom at 19, the reason everyone in that sport hated him is because they all thought he was a fake. And now he's parlayed it into a million amazing riches. And we'll forget it so much. The reason he's one of the hated, most hated people by his peers in the history of that sport is because no one thought he was ever sincere. He was always asking Michael Jordan, like, how do you set, you know, how do you squeeze a reporter's knee when you want to get the charm over? What's the correct way to shake hands? He was always trying to learn what are the greatest nuggets of golden fakery you athletes that who are the myths can give me so I can conquer the world. Like, it's amazing to watch what's happening on television right now as A-Rod's got all of these jobs and has reinvented himself while Jeter's about to have his production company or whatever it is we're doing now with these documentaries on famous people. Do it in four parts and six parts. Jeter's about to celebrate the last iconic moment in Pinstripes where you could be a star in baseball while A-Rod has like this parallel reinvention over here that's not going through the production companies. It's going through ESPN and Fox and, you know, the dating of J-Lo.
I feel bad for him, honestly. Like, it sounds weird, but like, it's kind of sad to not really know who you are and always be trying to gain people's acceptance. Like, if you look deep down,
Billy, that's been the criticism of him. Everybody in baseball wanted him to be more authentic. That was the criticism. This guy's a phony. It's not sincere. It's rehearsed. It's acted. But that's television.
It makes him great for TV.
Yeah, it does. I mean, nobody doubts that. He is a fake, but he's a beautiful fake. He's mastered the art, and it is art. But the smudge on his name doesn't disappear, though, right? Like, I wonder the weight of it. When you write the obituary for Alex Rodriguez in 30 years or whatever, what weight do you give to the fact that he had the longest steroid suspension in Major League history? I mean, that's up there, right?
Greg, I'm telling you, as his media career continues, that stuff just gets, it washes away, becomes a footnote.
It's so great, though,
he's
to watch it happen.
He's
going to
be remembered for New Year's Rockin' Eve with A-Rod.
You're right. So right. That's where it's going to end up, but on Amazon Prime, right? Because in the future,
on something that hasn't been invented yet, but he knows about it.
I love how we're talking about his media.
He would be great at New Year's Eve. All you have to do is count down backwards. Yeah. You don't think
he would be great? He would be great at New Year's Eve.
He would be terrible.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. He'd be beautiful.
Who would be good at New Year's Eve?
Anderson Cooper.
I think he's terrible.
I watch it every New Year's. He's great.
Really?
It's because they get drunk on TV. That's why I'm just watching for Don Lemon hits.
A-Rod.
Dits.
I love we're talking about his media career when he owns an NBA team.
That's how good he is.
It's amazing. It's amazing with steroid money. Like, he owns an NBA team with... Now, he was great. He would have been great without steroids. And just like Barry Bonds was great without steroids. But steroids was very lucrative for A-Rod and others by providing a fountain of youth that allowed all these people to play into their late 30s.
Tony's just pointing out he could see him on New Year's Eve with the gloves on, holding the mic in Times Square.
We were headed toward him being able to do that with his wife, J-Lo.
Mm. What happened there?
They both got what they wanted out of that, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't think?
I mean, I feel like there was more territory that was still not covered yet.
That worked out well for everyone involved.
Yeah, it worked out well, but I feel like they left something on the table. There's more that could have been done.
I mean, they wanted the Mets, so I don't think they got what they wanted.
Do you think his fakery had anything to do there with where that ended? Because
no, I think it's history. Yeah. Well, are you talking about the Mets or J-Lo? Because the Mets thing ended at a pretty obvious point, which is Major League Baseball doesn't want A-Rod owning a team.
Why not?
They went with Steve Cohen, for Christ's sakes.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You're talking about someone in your sport who's viewed for 30 years as being a phony. Yeah. Like, I've known A-Rod since he was in high school. Like, this is the criticism of him his entire life. It's been amazing to watch the reinvention through Hollywood and everything else that gets that rehab so that it's perfect for television. So perfect that both networks. Here's the other thing about A-Rod. As an announcer, lousy. Like, lousy.
That's just because the camera's not on him the whole time.
So what? I'm with you. He's lousy at that. Why do we think he's...
He's good in studio. I'm not good with painting him as a broad brush. He's not good on ESPN, but he's good on Fox.
Give him time.
He's not good at funny.
Let me ask a question. We've all kind of accepted that he's fake, right? Everyone says it. This isn't a secret, right? What if he's not fake? What if that's how he really is?
Okay. Look, I'll reveal it. I was in a fan... Like, A-Rod... was at family functions. My wife's first cousin was married to A-Rod. He's like that all the time.
So that's
all
him.
The time.
But Whittingham's so, asking, but maybe that's just him. He's trying. And that's the. This is what Billy's saying when he's saying it's a little bit sad. The entire life of A-Rod as someone, who ends up getting to fame like Orgeron, and then his life ends up changing in a way that he divorces his high school sweetheart and ends up in this vortex of temptation and Hollywood Miami glamour, as he is a star right away in baseball, right away. And not totally grown up in a way that, he puts his name on the college at the University of Miami, but it's always been a little bit insecure about his education or about what his legacy should be because he's not as educated as the others. Gets to all of these parties and poker rooms where Michael Jordan is and is asking a million questions of everybody, trying to figure out what do the people want? What? And so he says, what do the people want? So when you ask him, what's his favorite book? The Winner Within by Pat Riley, because it's what he thinks he should be. Businessman, mogul. It's what sports has constructed, and he's trying to fit around the Jeter model, right? Which is just Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, don't say anything, be regal. But those guys, we felt it was authentic. A-Rod? Never. Nobody thought it was authentic. But Whittingham saying, well, maybe that's who the best he can do is the idea of what we want of him. That's what you're saying. And that's what Billy's saying is why it's sad, right?
Of course, it's why it's sad. And he's trying to live into the sports construct that you talk all the time, that we craft around. But when you're not that, what happens when you're not that? You're just a great athlete, but you don't know how to actually be cool, how to actually live the spirit of Derek Jeter and Tom Brady and these guys that embody everything that sports America loves about athletes. What happens when you're not that? You try and you're desperate for it, because he clearly has wanted that level of stardom from, as you say, Dan, when he was a teenager. What happens when you can't be? You try and fake it, and then you eventually become that fakeness.
I know it's tough to put a positive spin on fakery, but on the other hand, there's a brilliance to this. There's a calculating brilliance to the idea that Alex Rodriguez, to mask everything else, has created a character. It's the Alex Rodriguez character, and it's been wildly successful.
It has 100% worked, and he's surpassed a lot of the people that have been named and people that he was trying to emulate. Like, he's a pop culture figure now, not a disgraced baseball player. Mm-hmm. How many people, if you were to ask about A-Rod that are not like big baseball fans, do you think know about his scandal?
No, they don't know.
He's an incredible success story, and the reasons why we're all labeling him as fake. he didn't have a positive male influence in his life. He idolized guys like Cal Ripken Jr. He was brought into the big leagues while he was a teenager, and he just imitated them. Kobe imitated these child prodigies, go into grown-ass workplaces, and they go right to the top, and they see how those guys act and behave, guys that they idolized when they were younger, and they just copy them. Because that's how it's done if you want that same success.
But Mike, the funny thing about A-Rod is when you bring that up, it kind of implies that they are copying the problematic behavior of the people at the top, right? The idea, you know.
I wasn't implying that. I'm just saying, like, he picks up a phone and he answers it the way that Michael Jordan would.
Right. He's Boston.
Hello, making, it's Michael Jordan.
Boston making fun of him last night. While Boston was recruiting him, one of the things that was said that was strange about A-Rod, this was reported as in an article as being held against him, but it's also A-Rod. They had to have like a midnight meeting of some sort at his hotel room. And at midnight, A-Rod is answering the door in a suit and tie, impeccably dressed at midnight when they were just expecting somebody to be in jeans and a t-shirt. But he was presenting. He was always presenting.
Maybe he likes that. Why?
Oh, he does.
Yeah, maybe it's comfortable to sleep in a suit.
He does.
Guy would dress
like ridiculous for Easter.
I do it all the time.
I need to attack here a little more, though. Yes, I want to be where you are, Whittingham. You just showing up for functions in a three-piece suit with, you know, the same suit. Double-breasted. Well,
did A-Rod, like, look for eggs with the family, or what was that like?
Greek Easter's a little bit different, but yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What did they look for?
Is he competitive?
Tzatziki sauce?
I mean, this is a little uncomfortable for me, because I maybe I've alluded to this, but I've never quite revealed. Well, like, Cynthia... Rodriguez is my wife, Cynthia's first cousin. She's also her godmother. So Cynthia and Cynthia were very close. And A-Rod was at a bunch of family functions because I've been with Cynthia for close to 20 years.
I think that we can actually go and do a deep dive here on Miami Latin, on, because you said not raised by a father, but he was raised by his basically his sister, his mom, and this relationship.
Yeah, his family helped raise him, and he's returned the favor. He very insular, and he kept those people around and elevated them. I too met A-Rod. Like, my mom befriended A-Rod's mom when he was just getting into the big league. So I've seen his growth, and that dude acts the same way all the time. It may be a front, but it's the same way. Like, I learned how to talk to receptionists and check in at hotels from just watching my dad. It's the only time I ever really act like my dad, because I never knew how to do that stuff. So all of it is just learned behavior that's reformed and honestly rewarded with a bunch of success. I got into the league. I acted like Cal Ripken Jr. I was the highest paid player ever. And he attributes it to his success.
How are you checking in the hotels?
This is Mike Ruiz.
You didn't think you'd like figure that out?
Well, I honestly literally check in as my dad just to get his diamond member points. They haven't caught on to that.
Like A-Rod.
You have to lower your voice like that?
I was like 19 years old, and they're like, whoa. I'm like, yeah, you know, work.
On the road. I like the idea of someone checking in. Wait a second. I know Mike Ruiz, and he doesn't sound like that.
I learned from my dad, too. We always make sure there's a mini bar. First question.
Hey, you got to. Make sure it's fully stocked as well. So does A-Rod show up at casual family events in a suit?
I mean,
I'm just curious.
I don't really see him around anymore. Like, his daughters are still, this is weird, but his daughter, like, I hang out with his daughters all the time. They're wonderful young women, and I do see him. Unfortunately, I only see him now when there's like funerals and stuff, which is kind of dark and drab.
How many pairs of socks does he own? He seems like a big no socks with shoes guy.
There's one.
No shows.
One Thanksgiving, there was no socks.
Are you
only one?
No shows? How do you know they weren't the no shows?
But impeccably casual, correct? He arrives anywhere. He probably smells very good.
I mean,
Jason
if that's
Taylor.
Casual.
I don't think he knows what casual is. Impeccably,
no, but for him, that's casual.
His outfit is like the most expensive, like, pant I've ever seen.
Did he do hand turkeys?
No, he didn't do ham turkeys. Mm.
It's his idea of casual, right? You don't even imagine that A-Rod knows, really. It's what his idea of...
He's asked someone, what is casual?
Yeah, casual in a catalog.
How do I look casual today?
He showed up to one he showed up to one Easter looking like the Riddler to me.
Like when most people find out like black tie optional, like what exactly does that mean? He calls and verifies, casual, walk me through this.
I feel like A-Rod goes right for the drumstick at Thanksgiving. He doesn't say it, but he feels entitled to a drumstick.
I don't recall.
He cuts every turkey of every Thanksgiving.
No, there's not
to.
Finger food he's going to get on those Versace pants and or there wasn't, shorts.
When he hosted Thanksgiving, there wasn't really a buffet set up.
Has he ever showed up like pilgrim themed to a Thanksgiving?
No, he didn't look like Joe Philbin ever.
That's too bad.
I don't imagine that A-Rod would ever spill something on himself.
No, he's never. When everyone else was drinking, he didn't drink at family functions. What I recall,
he just naturally has a coating that like, things don't stick to. So if he does, it just
Teflon
rolls right off.
His cologne is Flex Seal.
Some invisible shield that he wears. That if he spilled something, he could just pull it off like you would a warm up, and you've never seen it. It's just like an epidermis of some sort that protect him from stains.
We're so gonna get sued for this segment.
Sued?
Yeah.
What, defamation?
I mean, there is a family history of litigation here.
Sued for the segment because we've asked Mike Ryan a whole bunch of intimate questions.
You asked me if he dressed like a pilgrim for Thanksgiving. Some people do that. I don't think that
nobody
that's
does
slander.
That. Pilgrims Nobody do. Does that.
Pilgrims
you,
do.
No, no.
Pilgrims
You've got do. When since when did you make Thanksgiving a costume holiday?
Well, usually it involves children in a play of some sort of recreation. I was just wondering if he partook in that.
Fair question.
He was.
Thank you, Greg.
He was as you'd imagine him. He's just like that all the time. I don't necessarily. It's weird talking to him because it kind of feels like, is there a camera on us? Because
Mike, it's hard to get close to him. Again, I've covered this guy since he was 19 years old. I've been in the home of his mother, and he was raised uniquely Latin. My point is, when you mention that his dad wasn't around and he was just trying to figure out who to be. A-Rod got to fame and fortune. He was a child. He wasn't actually an adult, not a grown man. Just, you know, it takes Latin guys in Miami an extra minute to grow up because they can, you know, they can be under their family spell.
He was starring for the Mariners and his offseason home was still his mom's house way down south. Like he was still very much a teenager. Coincidentally, a couple of those family functions, I either tried to talk him into the Red Sox. And my greatest achievement was I applied so much pressure that I believe he caved and played for the U.S. team in the World Baseball Classic one time.
Wait, so this was because of you?
I wouldn't stop. I'm like, you got to play for the U.S. You got to play. Wow. Then, like, after the divorce, he ended up playing for the DR. So I'm like, okay, he finally got his way.
Thank you for your service, Mike.
Bit of a commute, huh? His mom's house to Seattle every day.
It's his off-season home.
It was amazing what he did. No wonder he needed steroids with that commute.
Don Lebatard.
I'm going to get some golf ASMR.
Stugatz.
Oh, me.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Did he get, like, his credentials made into a piece of art? Why?
I save all my credentials, but I have never... thought of making a display of them.
It's a collage and it's framed and it's got glass over it. I just feel like that's a little much.
A little much.
A little look at me, Louie.
But then again, why do I save them?
I used to save them because I thought one day I'd be like, oh, remember that game? Then now I look at them, I'm like, what is this? This is from the Indian Wells tennis tournament. Right.
Greg, you're a hoarder. That's why you don't throw them.
I am
you
a hoarder.
Should make a credenza out of your credentials.
Ooh, I like that, Billy. Billy's a can-do guy.
Mm-hmm. Try to be.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
The worst part about that joke is it's just because they start with the same four letters, and that's it.
Yeah. Nailed it.
It's beautiful. Alliteration. It's right there, man. That was a bullseye.
It's not even alliteration.
Do you know what Cody's... I've been having this argument with Cody since, I don't know, I was 20 years old. Greg Cody's belief on jokes is that you just want to hit 200. You just want to get over, what is the baseball
Mendoza
player?
Mendoza line.
No, he used a different player. He didn't use the Mendoza line comedically.
It's at bats. And the player I always reference is Cesar Tovar, who was a utility infielder for the Minnesota Twins back in the 70s.
Who could forget?
Exactly. And he was the first major league player I'm aware of who had 700 at-bats in a season. And so the lesson there is throw those lines out, see what sticks. You're piling up at-bats, you're compiling at-bats, and you're going to get more hits.
No walks, just keep swinging. You want to be a lousy...
Don't take any pitches, actually.
You want to be a lousy player, but you want to be someone who just takes a ton of swings.
Right, and modern-day baseball has taken a lesson from me. Mm-hmm. Now it's all strikeouts or home runs.
Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of foul tips.
That's right.
Can't get a hit with that bat on your shoulder, Dan.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I've accused him over the years, because Cesar Tovar was not a very good hitter, right?
He was pretty good.
He was a good swinger.
He also never had 700 bats in a season.
Quit ruining my fantasy. What a spoiled sport. Next you're going to tell me wrestling's fake. Get out of here.
Really? Don't you hate when Google erases the myths? You've been saying that for 50 years. Cesar Tovar, all you want is try to get... I've been arguing with you for decades where I'll say... That was a fielder's choice. And you're like, oh, no, always bloop single.
Bloop single, right. Yeah. By the way, I challenge you, now that you have Tovar's stats ups, mm-hmm. He may have not had 700 at-bats, but I guarantee you one year he had 700 plate appearances.
Three times
it happened.
Triumphant.
Thank you, Greg. You win three times. You win the Cesar Tovar.
Thank you. Finished seventh in the MVP voting.
Look at that.
Damn right.
You know, 1967. Yeah.
So you think you're the Cesar Tovar of comedy?
I am. Yeah. Not a Hall of Famer, but,
Give me, please.
I think you're a below average player.
give me his career numbers, please. I'd like all of them just because I'd like the audience to know.
Numbers are different now, Dan.
What Greg Cody, I know they're different, but I just want.
Totally different game.
I want, you know, his best season. I want to go down the Cesar Tovar rabbit hole. So please tell me who, because Greg Cody is maintaining this is who I am on the comedy landscape.
Right.
You choose all the baseball players. I'm Cesar Tovar.
Right. Exactly. As a human being, really. So not just a comedy.
In 1972, he led the league in getting hit by pitches 14 times.
That's me. I take it for the team. I sacrifice.
What else? Please give me as much Cesar Tovar information as you can possibly give me.
1971, he led the league in caught stealing.
Again, I sacrifice for the good of the team.
But that's not good. No, that's getting caught stealing is not.
I'm making an effort.
But the effort is there.
That's
not the good of the team. The team is losing because you've made an out. Like that, you led the league in getting thrown out trying to steal a base, which we've learned 50 years later is not even a prudent thing to be doing mathematically, trying to steal a base.
Well, this is the best part in that season that Billy just referenced. He finished 24th in MVP voting.
Mm-hmm.
Top 25, baby.
In the running.
Damn right.
All right. Excellent. You have a high opinion of yourself.
Well, I mean, I'm a credible player in the game of life.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.